This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have someone super special today. We have James Lawrence, also known as the Iron Cowboy. So inspiring. I'm excited for him to be here today. James, how are you doing?
I am amazing. Thank you. Just finished a very competitive game of pickleball.
Ooh, that's something Sean's been wanting to get into.
Yeah. So.
Oh, dude, it's a lot of fun, man. It's kind of sweeping the nation right now, but it's a good time.
Yeah. So I first heard about it. So we have an Airbnb in Albuquerque, and they had the Senior Olympics, and there was a bunch of people that were going to play pickleball. And so I thought at first it was just for the seniors, but it sounds like it's I think it'd be a lot of fun. So, but
Yeah. It's been around for a very, very long time, and it kind of was in that senior circuit, but now it has exploded everywhere.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
That's awesome. Well, I'm just going to give a brief bio on James. So James lives with his wife, Sunny, and their 5 children in Utah. After breaking several Guinness World Records, James wondered if he had truly found his mental and physical limits. He knew there was more. Repeatedly mocked for choosing a goal so big, Lawrence takes on the challenge of doing 50 long-distance triathlons in 50 consecutive days through all 50 states. After accomplishing the 50, James knew he wasn't done yet. Over the next 5 years, he rode his mountain bike to the top of the Mount Kilimanjaro, ran 235 miles across Greece, competed in extreme triathlons around the world, and raced the X-Tri World Championship in Norway. He also completed in the TV world premiere of the world's toughest race, a 10-day adventure race through the back jungles of Fiji and the Uberman, all leading up to the biggest project, Conquer 100, racing a full distance triathlon for 100 consecutive days from March 1st, 2021 to June 8th of 21. 140.6 miles a day for 14 weeks, total of 14,060 miles. Holy cow, this is insane, James. And I have so many questions, but first let's start with how did this all get started?
Man, I got tired listening to that. that dude sounds crazy. I do a lot of speaking around the world, and part of my message is that every journey has a humble beginning. And absolutely mine did. I grew up a wrestler in Canada and, you know, moved to the States and met my wife. We're celebrating 22 years of marriage, which is crazy.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, just as a young married couple, we were, you know, going to the gym, but, you know, she said, hey, let's go do this 4-mile fun run. And I'm like, I don't know that you can say fun and run together, right? And so I ultimately ended up doing the fun run, and it kind of escalated at a negative experience. And she challenged me to do a marathon, had a negative experience there. And I was like, wait a minute, this shouldn't be reality. I should be okay doing these. I'm a young, fit individual. And so I just kind of really dove into the endurance space and running, and found triathlon. And like anybody else that gets inspired and motivated, when watching a world championships on TV, you just want to do, you know, one event, not the world championships, but just one event. And then that kind of just kickstarted me getting into the tri community and really loving it. And like I said, the community. And then my wife and I just did racing together, and one thing led to another. And we kind of went on a very unique path and journey that's been fun.
Wow. Yeah.
You're very humble, I think, throughout all, because it's what you have accomplished is absolutely incredible. And we're very honored for you to be here today. But I love the story you told. I think it was your first marathon, correct me if I'm wrong. But and then you went to the MMA fight, because I think that puts in perspective, if you could tell that story, because I think it puts in perspective of, it's not like you just came out and you were, you're very talented, but you know, you didn't, it started from some humble beginnings to where you conquered the 100. Right. So if you could tell that story, I think it resonates with other people.
I think that's one of the great messages that I get to share is I'm just like you. I'm just like every listener that's listening to this, and you guys are just like me. The fact is that I, over a course of a decade, I've really attacked with relentless pursuit greatness, and cultivated the things that I've learned and the traits needed to be successful like we have. But yeah, that first marathon I did, no idea what I was doing, just went to the store, bought the most expensive pair of shoes I could find, downloaded a free program online and just tried to do the work. Wasn't ready, got destroyed by this marathon. I love MMA, went to the fights that night in Salt Lake City, and refused to get up because I was like, I'm tired. The marathon was stupid. I was grumpy. And by the end of the fights, my knees had swollen up so bad I couldn't stand up. And now imagine the most machoist of environments, and I needed to be wheelchaired out of the stadium to get to my car. And so when I say it was a humble beginning, it was a very humble beginning. And that was kind of the moment where I said, well, either I'm not a runner and I don't understand why anybody does it, or I'm going to try to figure this out. And so that was kind of a moment in my life where I was like, I'm either going to let this define me, or I'm going to attack this and try to overcome the pain that I experienced in running, because it doesn't make sense. And a lot of people, I hear this all the time. Oh, I've got bad knees, I don't run. Mm. And I experienced that. But the reality was that was my body just learning how to adapt. And those stresses was a reaction. And actually, you have bad knees because you don't run, you don't work out, you don't do these types of activities. And once you develop those muscle fibers and tendons and ligaments, you can actually run pain-free and enjoy it. And so people don't run because they have bad knees, but I would say they have bad knees because they don't run.
Yeah. Do it enough. And I had a question for you. Because we had a guest on last week that Chris Keslow, he wrote the book The Imposter Syndrome, or Overcoming the Imposter Syndrome. But I thought he'd said something that was, I think, will relate to you. He said, like, when you're trying something new, you know, there's only two outcomes. You're either going to succeed or you're going to fail. But either one of those, you're going to learn.
Learning.
Yeah, and you're going to gain the experience and knowledge. You know, I've heard you say in some of your videos and other podcasts, you mentioned that, you know, it didn't start off with, right, the Conquer 100. And it, because I think people just hear the insane things you've accomplished. But can you speak to that as far as, like, it didn't start there, and I, like you said, you had to be wheelchaired the night out of your first marathon. So obviously it didn't start there. But I mean, you talked about the gaining experience and knowledge, you know, that you've done over your career.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's a concept that I have that says you can't go from 0 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people see a headline and be like, oh, that's where they start to assume, like, okay, he's different. He just did 100. They don't realize there was a decade worth of stepping stones, accomplishments, failures along the way to get to the belief and the ability to that moment. And every single week I get a handful of messages of, like, someone saying, hey, I saw your story, I'm super inspired, I want to do X.
Mm-hmm.
And X is something that's so out there and so wild because they're comparing it to what I just did. And because part of my message is dream big and go for the stars and, you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But what their mistake is that's their starting point. And you can have that shoot for the stars dream, but you have to have and respect the time that it's going to take to achieve the shoot for the stars. And there's got to be 10, 15, 20, 30 steps in between concept to the stars that's going to allow you to get ready and set you up for success. So yeah, you're right. You can't go from 0 to 100. And in fact, there was a gentleman who he sent me a message on Instagram. He said, hey, loved your journey. I'm inspired. Do I have permission to break your world record and do 120 full distance Ironmans? And I'm like, one, you don't need my permission. Go nuts, have at it. And he was like, great. I actually thought he was kidding. And the following week he made the announcement that he was going to do 102. And he didn't even get through the first week. And it's just proof positive. You can't go from 0 to 102, you know, and respect the enormity of your goals, whether it's fitness, whether it's business, whatever, relationships, like, give yourself the grace and the time and realize you're not going to be an expert on day number one. And you need to continually show up and refine that craft and put in the hours and put in the time. You have to be willing to make those sacrifices in order to taste victory. And so that's where a lot of people misstep, is they just come out of the gates and they go, I'm at zero, I'm going to go to 100, let's go. And that is the quickest recipe for failure.
Yeah. And I mean, it relates, and I think that to all areas of life. And like for us in business, you know, we, people see where we are today, but like they don't realize we're like turtles. It's been 22 years we've been grinding at this. And so, you know, day in and day out, it's not, nothing happens overnight. Yeah. So, I mean, things can, but it,
there's overnight successes, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's that we didn't hear about you or see the trench work that's been done. And then all of a sudden we see you, but it's because of that groundwork that was laid and that was put out. And so, yeah, I think people, social media is amazing and it's got a lot of benefits, a lot of tools, a lot of resources. It connects us in a way that wasn't possible before, but there's a lot of people posing as experts in best moments, and we get confused a little bit, and it's all of a sudden becomes the new reality. And then it's, you know, we start to judge ourselves in our lack of ability or progression and go, well, I can't do that. Well, that person's posting one, their best moment, and possibly a moment that was 10 years in the making. Yeah. And we forget that.
Absolutely. I want you to talk a little bit about the mental toughness that it takes to get here.
Yeah. Was that a question?
Yes.
Actually, it's the number one question I get is how do I become more mentally tough?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much content out there that's motivational, that's inspirational. There's phenomenal books. There's, guides and all of it. And all of that is great. And it arms us, sparks us, gets us ready, inspires us, motivates us. But it doesn't change anything until you do the one thing that matters, and that's take action.
Yeah.
And the only way to develop mental toughness, to have a level of grit, is to have experiences, to back yourself into a corner. And then now what are you going to do? It's to the point where you break yourself down and have to ask yourself the question, do I have the courage in this moment to take the next step? And that's the moment where you find out, am I willing to take that next step? Am I willing to cultivate mental toughness? Am I willing to grow? Am I willing to feel what that pain and anxiety is going to feel like in order to get on the other side of that step? And so everybody's can talk about motivation. Everybody can read and listen to and digest, but until you take an action, till you have an experience, only then can you start to build upon that. We live in the United States of America. We live in an unbelievably comfortable place. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of whiners and a lot of entitlement out there and a lot of, you know, whatever you want to call it. I'm not sugarcoating things at this moment, but it's like, you've got to get up off of the couch, and you have to put down a screen and you got to put it down. You got to go do something, have an action, have an experience. That's the only way. It's the only way.
Mm-hmm. How do you, there's got to have been so many times that, I don't know, like, how do you, so like the people that went, because yeah, things get tough. Joan and I, we failed more than I would care to mention, but like, and we fall hard, we get hit, we get knocked down. I think that's part of being an entrepreneur. But the, like when you were doing a lot of these events, and like, you know, like when you did your shins, I think you were having shin splints, like right at the beginning of the con, how do you like tell your, like what conversations are you having with yourself, or did you have with yourself, that causes you just to keep going and not throw in the towel? Mm-hmm.
How do you push through the pain?
Yeah, those are two different questions. Pain is just something that once it reaches a pinnacle, you just learn how to manage that level. And you get to an understanding like, okay, this is as bad as the pain is going to be. I just have to learn how to exist in this environment. Mm-hmm. But to keep going when maybe you're experiencing a lot of failures, you're experiencing a lot of missteps, By day 15, I was completely broken. I was literally waiting for the moment my leg was going to snap. And my wife just gave me incredible advice. And she said, look, you've got a world-class team around you. You've got more experience than anybody in the world. If you quit today, we'll never know. And all you have to do is show up tomorrow. That's it. You just got to show up tomorrow and start, because we have no idea when the next miracle is going to present itself. And I continued to show up, and eventually problems or answers to problems and solutions started to present themselves. But we would have never found those solutions or answers had we stopped and quit and tried to go back to the drawing board. Because you have to continue on a journey in order to attract and manifest the solutions to the problems. And you have to have and develop just an unbelievable sense of belief and conviction in what you're doing and the process. And if you quit, all of that disappears and goes away, and you'll never find out. And you sometimes it takes 500 tries at something in order to chalk up one win.
Yeah.
Well, you got to look at that one win as a start of momentum and the start of a streak. A streak starts with one, right? And sometimes the learning and the missteps and the falls and all that are so beneficial, and it's only arming you and getting you ready for the intensity and enormity of what's coming. And, you know, a lot of times you look at 500 missteps as a failure, and then you chalk up one win and you're like, well, I'm 501. Well, one's the first step to closing that gap and gaining that momentum. Success breeds success, and confidence breeds confidence. And so everybody out there is looking for this like home run, instant win. Just hit singles up the middle. Mm-hmm. Hit singles up the middle and just start touching bases, right? Now you're going to start to gain momentum. Then as you gain knowledge and experience, you can start swinging harder and harder and bigger and bigger. But I hear people all the time is like, this is my goal, and they're not willing to start to stack wins on top of each other, and you're never going to get there. And I just see a lot of entitlement, a lot of excuses, and it's sad from the outside looking in.
I think that's the biggest with the younger generation. It's, you know, they miss those, the single hits, the base hits, and it adds up, but it adds up over time. They want that home run right away. You're able to compartmentalize really well. Like, is that, would you say that, you know, like you're talking about, like, be able to focus on just that next step rather than, you know, the thousands of steps you got to take that day? Is that kind of how you look at it, or am I saying that?
Yeah. Right? So, you know, in that painfully, painful bio that you read, one of the things in there was the adventure race that we did through Fiji. And, you know, it was in Fiji, they were the host country, and nobody thought the Fijian teams had a chance to win. And the only reason they got to put a team in there was because they were the host country. They had terrible equipment, no training camps, no coaches, no mentors, nothing. They were just like, okay, we're gonna do this. And literally the producers, all the other professional teams were like, okay, thanks for accepting us to your country. No chance you have to win this race, let alone finish. And wouldn't you know it, the Fijian team finishes the Eagle Challenge, the world's toughest race. And the reason they were able to is because their life requires them to be gritty out of necessity. And they understood that if I continue to chip away at this and I just keep moving forward, eventually I'm going to complete the task and make it to the finish. And so they understood that at such a high level, and they were never looking 5 days down the road. They just understood like, okay, I'm struggling right now, but all I got to do is focus on the next moment, the next step, and keep chipping away. And one, you know, as an example, one of the tasks was a 1,000-foot waterfall we had to ascend. And if you look like, okay, well, I can't run and jump up that waterfall, I got to move up this rope an inch at a time. And maybe it's going to take me 3 hours, but eventually I'm going to make it to the top of that waterfall. Guess where and who the first team was to quit? Obviously, that's an impossible question. It was a CrossFit team from the United States of America.
Wow.
Right? And it's, you know, they just quit. And the Fijian team not only finished, but they beat every other team that finished. And I believe it's because, one, they're greedy out of necessity. It's just the way that they live. And two, they just focused on the task at hand. They weren't in a hurry. They were learning as they were going, and they just chipped away. And eventually they made it to the finish line. And like I said, they beat every team that pulled themselves out of the race.
Wow. Yeah.
So what drives you? Like what's your why behind all this? Like, is there a single, like who pushes their bodies to this limits and why?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, with these big challenges that we do, they're multifaceted. One, I've always been curious to see what's possible. And as we accomplished some of the big goals and challenges that we had, just more became possible because, again, we took an action, we gained experience and knowledge, and that changed our perception and perspective about what the mind and body could do. Mm-hmm. And so that side of it's really personal and just exciting to push those limits. And it's fun to be one of almost 8 billion people in the world. To do something that nobody else has done is kind of really cool. space to be in, and when you think of it that way. And then we always tie it to a charity and a bigger cause than we are. The first one was to build dams in Africa. The next one was to combat childhood obesity epidemic. The most recent one was to try to help eradicate sex trafficking and human slavery. And so I think this is super important for everybody to understand is one, there's got to be a purpose bigger than ourselves. Because when the moment gets real and you have to figure out how you're going to take the next step when you're completely broken, you've got to have more than one reason to keep pushing. There's got to be a purpose greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. Like day 80 of the 100, I was like broken mentally, physically, and spiritually. I was like, I don't know how to keep doing this. And we ended up raising $500,000 over the last 20 days.
Wow.
And so you have to ask yourself what would have happened if I didn't have a bigger cause. I would have just quit and never found out the benefit or the impact that we ended up having.
Yeah. Right. That's awesome. Your wife is just as inspiring, I think. I mean, because she went through this along this journey with you. And talk a little bit about how important were the people you surround yourself with during this time.
Yeah, good question, Joni. You know, nothing great is ever accomplished on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at our entire story, it's been myself, my wife, my five kids, and the two wingmen, Casey and Aaron. And they've all played very pivotal roles in what we've done. And then there's a subset of team behind that as well that makes this all happen. I always say that I'm not the Iron Cowboy. We are the Iron Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
And that logo, that symbol means togetherness. It means commitment. It means grit. It means toughness. It means going all in. It means all those things. And so it's become more than just a nickname. It symbolizes all of those amazing traits that we have. But yeah, Sonny's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The backbone, the behind the scenes, the companionship, understanding me at a super high level, what my needs are, and vice versa. We really work well together. And then the wingmen are incredible. Mm. Just what they did. I mean, you look at just the insane logistics behind the 50. And then during the 100, their roles changed. I mean, Aaron ended up doing 112 mile bike rides with me, and Casey ended up running 100 marathons with me.
Wow.
And these boys got nothing out of it, right? They were just like, we want to help you guys raise money for charity and impact the way people think.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredible, incredible human beings that understand sacrifice and support and teamwork.
Wow. It's incredible.
I relate a little bit because Joni did a fitness competition. It was last year, right? And that was I felt it was just as hard.
I know
she was going through a lot and physically and all that, but it was a lot on the, you know, because all of a sudden I got everything dropped onto me, and hurt, like I lost my wife for like, you know, 6 months or whatever, because that's all she was focused on. So it's got to be very similar, like where you're in this. That's all you can consume.
It becomes training. An obsession, really.
Yeah, and so the spouse, I think, you know, has to take care of the kids, do, you know, the house stuff, and I felt like it was it was a struggle for me just as much as it was for her. And I wasn't doing anything, just helping out. But, you know, I wanted to know, like, how do you stay so focused? Because I think people can, you know, like I can. If I'm going to say I'm going to run for 7 days, I mean, that's pretty big. But to do something for like an extended period of time, I think is sometimes harder for people. So how do you stay, you know, do you have any suggestions how you stayed so hyper-focused for, you know, 100 days on something, and that mental endurance, So, you know, there's obviously a physical aspect to it, but a lot of it's a mental. Can you speak to that a little bit? How you, and you kind of have already, but maybe.
Yeah, I think it's just years and years of practicing discipline. You know, I posted on my social media today a great thing from Jocko Willink where he says, like, dude, motivation's easy. And everybody can be amazing when they're motivated. It's in the moments of when you're not motivated that separates the good from the great. And he says, discipline is something that if you have and can execute, you become invincible because you just wake up and you do the things you are required to do, whether you want to or not. And motivation, it only appears when you feel good and want to do it. It's when you do things when you don't feel good and don't want to do it. And so I think just practicing discipline, and my, you know, Sunny, my wife, is amazing at a routine. And just consistently getting into routine, building a solid habit to where it becomes habitual. Mm-hmm. And again, you can't go from 0 to 100. And so start with small, simple routines and get into a groove and get into a rhythm and practice that and gain success and momentum. One of my favorite books is Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Yeah, we love that
book. And I love the story in the book where he talks about the gentleman that is trying to lose weight and sets a goal to go to the gym six days a week for whatever, 2 hours a day, and he fails on day three because he lacked motivation. Mm. And he wasn't associating himself as a gym goer. And so he changed the script and said, okay, you can go to the gym, but you have to leave after 15 minutes. And he's like, well, I'm not going to accomplish anything in 15 minutes of time at the gym. He's like, I don't care. You have to leave after 15 minutes. And he would go to the gym every day for 15 minutes, week after week. And then he started to associate himself as a gym goer. And that changed the way he thought about himself, which then now created momentum for him to do it and start to get closer and closer to his goal, to where he was actually now accomplishing things in the gym. But we have to start to associate ourselves with who we are and getting us closer to what we're trying to accomplish. So I love that part of the book. It just really resonated with me. And I think it can help a lot of people, just that way of thinking and changing what we're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So James, what's your next? What are you looking to accomplish in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, so I've got 5 kids, 4 teenage girls. My youngest is 12. My oldest is 20. Last week I just had my 2 oldest move out together, which is amazing.
Wow, that's awesome.
But like in the next 5 or 6 years, that's all I have left with, you know, before my youngest is at that age where we're going to kind of let him go. And so for me, I don't have planned. I don't have any desire to do any more big challenges. To me, the 100 and the way that we executed it to perfection reset any mistakes that the public perception may be out there about the 50 or anything that we've done. Like, we really mic dropped by the end of that thing. And I'm totally satisfied. And I have the knowledge and the belief that if I'm willing to sacrifice, I can accomplish anything. Yeah. And to me, the sacrifice it would take to beat that or to up that, I mean, it's just the benefits and sacrifice aren't in alignment with each other. So for me, the next 5 years is to help other people achieve their level of greatness, whatever their version of impossible is. Just through coaching and mentoring. I do a lot of speaking around the world. I just spoke in my 50th country in Iceland a few weeks ago.
Cool.
Which is a lot of cool, a lot of fun. And then it's just being present with my kids and my family and getting them ready to tackle the world.
What are you most proud about so far? Like, are you, like, what would you tell your grandchildren? What are you going to tell them? I'm just curious.
That's always an interesting and hard question because there's so many different categories, right?
Yeah.
Like physically and mentally, dude, I am so proud of the 100, as hellish as that was. But on the other side of stuff, like, I'm so proud that I've managed to keep a wife for 22 years and have, you know, five great relationships with 5 kids that are all very different and unique. And the fact that I've remained healthy in such a chaotic world and that I've figured out how to be an entrepreneur and provide a safe living for my family. I think all of those things are very different categories, but all worthy of a little bit of pride.
Yeah.
And maybe my greatest accomplishment is maintaining a healthy relationship and a very balanced lifestyle with everything that we've gone out and tried to accomplish.
Yeah.
So I would say somewhere in there would be the what I'm
We have a, go ahead.
Yeah, so we have a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old. So, and our 8-year-old's our daughter, and then so being that you have raised several girls, mm-hmm. do you have any advice? Since you're ahead of me here.
No, actually it's crazy because I've got five unbelievable girls. They're all very different. And I guess this would be advice for any parenting. How old did you say your daughter was?
Eight.
Yeah.
Over communicate with her right now, like totally gain her trust, her love. No topic is off the table. Trying to communicate with them when they're angry and upset and 16 is not the moment to start to do. So gain trust super early. And you know, what you want to do with kids is ask a ton of questions and allow them to be who they are, both creativity with dreaming. Don't live your dreams through your kids. And ultimately it comes down to a high level of communication, a high level of understanding, a high level of trust, and allowing them to experience discomfort and natural consequences. We don't have any rules at our house. We have expectations.
Yeah.
And if you do something, then we follow through with a course of action that is relative to the activity. Like here's just a real simple example. My new driver in the house got a driver's license, goes out and gets a speeding ticket. Well, a lot of parents would be like, "You're the dumbest kid on the planet. I can't believe you did that. And I'm taking your car away for 2 weeks." Well, that only inconveniences me. Like, like now I got to drive you somewhere, right? That's a terrible punishment. But the natural consequence to that is, look, my insurance went up and there's a cost to the ticket. You now have to pay that ticket and the difference in the insurance. And that's the natural consequence of that. Me getting upset about it, it's not going to change the fact that she went out speeding, right? But I am going to hold her to the fire as far as like the consequence that happened to it. And taking the car away from her doesn't teach her any lesson. It just pisses her off even more. It doesn't make her slow down anymore, especially if I pay that ticket and the difference in the insurance. So that's what I mean by a natural consequence and not overreacting, right?
Yeah.
People immediate, like parents, I just see it all the time. They're like, immediate no. They don't even think about it, right? We become a no society. Like, no, you can't do that. Why? Well, I don't know. You just can't, right? Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, it really doesn't matter. But my one piece of advice for you as a father would be gain their trust early. Ask a ton of questions and just get them comfortable with you being open. The reason kids don't come to their parents is because they think they're going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. That's why kids sneak out. Yeah. My kids, I promise you, have never snuck out because they just say, "Hey, Dad, I'm going out tonight. Or can I go out tonight? This is what I'm doing." Great. Who are you going to be with? What time are you going to be home? Right? All these things. Just communicate with them. And just the biggest problems come when you try to control them. You try to helicopter, you monitor every single movement, allow them to have experiences, struggle, cry with them, laugh with them, experience life with them. They're people.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Great advice there. Thank you for that.
Are any of them following your footsteps or any of them got into triathlons or competing?
I think they've witnessed a level of suffering that has definitely steered them away from they're all very health minded. They understand the benefits of healthy choices, eating and motion. They like casual sports. We play pickleball together. We can go on bike rides together. They're not really competitive. My youngest son, our only son, is into lacrosse and absolutely loves it. He's getting into basketball. And so he's the only one that's really showing interest in doing something, you know, a little bit more competitive, a little bit more athletic. My girls right now are into boys and dances and having fun.
Yeah. Awesome.
I have one more question for you. So if you were just, so we have a lot of entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs that listen to this show. So if you're just starting out and could go back into your early 20s, what advice would you give yourself?
I think it would be to not be so influenced by what we believe other people think of us. Mm. It just doesn't matter. I think having that confidence in who we are, being our unique selves. Everyone's just trying to be another me too and fit into a mold. And teachers are just like, everybody has to be the same person. And it's just so exhausting. And so I would tell these kids, like, look, if you have a passion for something, go develop it. And if you lose passion for it, go to do something else. The biggest thing people do is they like try to figure out what they're going to do at 22. Dude, your 20s is the exploration deck. Like, go like, I love wrestling. I didn't know I loved wrestling until I did it. Mm-hmm. I love golf. I didn't know I loved golfing till I did it. I love triathlon. Didn't know I loved triathlon until I did it. Yet I see all these people in their early 20s, like trying to be perfect, sitting at home, waiting for passion to slap them in their face, waiting for their career to come to them. Mm. They're not having an experience. Like they're not going out and doing things. The only way you're going to find, learn, grow, it's by going and doing. And it's in your 20s. Like go lose everything 10 times. Do it every year. Lose everything and rebuild. Like you've got, that's the best time to do it. Go live in a van down by the river. Live off of a mountain. Make some sacrifices. Make some risks. Like that's when you do it. Learn. Like I get so frustrated with when I hear people say, oh man, I missed this opportunity, or I didn't learn this. Dude, YouTube, Google, like there is so much free information out there. So it's true. Ridiculous. If I wanted to go rebuild a 67 Mustang right now, trust me, I know nothing about cars. But if I really wanted to, like, hey, you know what? I want to do that. Wouldn't cost me a dime other than the Mustang, right? The knowledge, the education, the whatever it is, you just go do it. And there's so much free education out there. It's no longer an excuse.
Right.
Like I see homeless people begging for money on their iPhone. I'm like, dude has an iPhone. He's going to burn himself. So stop it. That excuse is completely off the table. So my advice to the younger generation, believe in yourself, go all in, make mistakes. The 20s is when you just go do stuff, lose everything, get broke, make some money, lose it again. You've got to experience all of that. Like that's how you gain momentum. That's how you fail. And you have to go do things in order to find out what your passion is. Trust me, your passions will not find you. You got to go find them.
Yeah. We have a mutual friend that, their teenage son that just graduated tried to go live in a van by the river. They weren't too thrilled about it. So, yeah.
Dude, I love it. Dude, I can't wait to retire and go buy a van and live down by the river. Now it's going to be rivers all across the country and the world, but it's going to be down by the river.
They had his life, like, you know, planned down, and that was not in his... when they thought he graduated. So
no, it makes sense. Go experience.
Yeah. When did you complete your first triathlon? What age were you at?
So my very first triathlon, I would have been mid to late 20s. I was 28 when I did my first Ironman.
Okay, cool. Wow. I'm just curious.
Maybe I was 32. 28 when I did my first triathlon, 32. And then I was 39 when I did my 37 when I did my first world record, 39 when I did the 50, 45 when I did the 100.
Wow.
And that's the other thing too, is like, it's never too late to reinvent yourself and start over. I had a friend who lost everything at age 45, went back to medical school and is now a doctor.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
Well, we appreciate this. I mean, it was as good as we thought it would be. And we know you're a very busy person. And so we really appreciate you taking the time to do this. And so again, if there's anything we can ever do for you, please let us know, but thank you for taking today and doing this. So.
Yes. And yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, yeah. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Joni. And anything you guys need, just also let me know.
Awesome. And how can they get a hold of you? Just your website or learn more about you? IronCowboy.com.
Yeah. I'm most active on social, on Instagram, which is Iron Cowboy James. Definitely our website for any speaking inquiries or anything, ironcowboy.com. And if you want to email me directly, it's just james@ironcowboy.com.
All right. You also have a book as well, right?
Yeah, book, Redefine Impossible. It's kind of an autobiography and the stories from the 50. And in the spring of next year, we're going to be releasing the new book from the 100 and a lot of lessons that we learned in there and a lot of the people and stories that we met along the way. And then the new documentary from the 100 will come out probably around Christmas time. And the current documentary about the 50 is on Amazon Prime and Peacock.
Awesome. Right. We'll have all of that in the show notes as well. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Awesome. So guys, please share this, like it. We depend on you. Keep sharing the podcast, and we appreciate you, and we'll see you all next week.
See ya.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.